Continuing the series, Come Home to God's Rest, part two. And the text that I used last week, the main text is Hebrews chapter 4, verse 11. Let us therefore make every effort, every effort to enter that rest, enter that God's rest. It has to be a priority. It has to be important in our life to enter into God's rest, come home to God's rest. And last week during ministry time, Psalm 23, I was reading Psalm 23. It says, "You anoint my head with oil, my cup overflows. Surely your goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. And what this passage says is this is God's plan, I think the devil perverted the home so much that, the home has become, family has become, household has become a place of so much pain and rejection and abandonment. But this is God's plan. Home is supposed to be a sanctuary. It says it's a place, it's supposed to be a place of rest, a place of, it says here, where the cup overflows, where goodness of God and the love of God will touch me, will follow me. It's a place of healing. How it's supposed to be, your home is supposed to be a place of healing, comfort, encouragement, and acceptance and love. In this broken world where the devil perverts the home, we need to come home to God's rest, where I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Okay? As a church, proclaim that I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Last week, I talked about how in this culture, especially with the culture of high standard of living, it makes us weary, it makes us empty, it drains us. And, we think that this high standard of living, that we will be happy, but, I find that that's not true. We think happiest people, if you really look at it, happiest people are not those who have the highest standard of living. Why? Because there's great price you and I have to pay for that high standard of living. To keep that high standard, we must work very hard, very, very hard. And it seems like it's never enough. We have to do more. We have to do more. And that high standard of living is also very stressful, draining, and it makes us weary. But not just this culture of high standard of living. We live in a broken world. You're broken and I'm broken. Right? And so we become overwhelmed and stressed. We become weary because there's, in this broken world, there's lack of breakthrough. It can be also a sickness that never seems to get healed, no matter how much you try to walk in faith. There's childhood brokenness that haunts us, even to adulthood. And you think you overcame this childhood, brokenness, but you still see that you get triggered and there's residue that's still there. Nobody in this broken world has a monopoly on rejection, neglect, or abuse. Nobody. We all got rejected, and we will get rejected. There's loss. There's neglect. There's betrayal. There's insecurities. There's fear. There's depression. There's spiritual attack of condemnation, shame, and lies. So as we live in this world, as sons and daughters of God, as Christians, there are many things in this broken world that will stress us, many things that will make us weary. And this is the challenge that the Bible gives us. Galatians chapter 6, verse 9 says this, "Let us not become weary." Okay? Let us not become weary of doing good. You know, if you become, you know, the brokenness, the world, the devil, our flesh makes us weary, but it says, but one thing you should not become weary about, let us not become weary of doing good. Okay? For at the proper time, we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. If we do not, see, once you, God, get weary of doing good, it's kind of hopeless. It becomes hopeless. Just let us not become weary of doing good. The Bible says, don't be weary of doing the right thing. You're doing the right thing, but there's no result, you say. But the Bible encourages us to still do the right thing. Still believe in the right thing. Don't let lack of result stop you. No matter if there's no breakthrough, even if the difficulty seems to be getting worse, they're saying, don't listen to weariness, that spirit of weariness. Don't agree with the spirit of weariness. Don't give that spirit of weariness power. Don't identify with that spirit of weariness. It's not just a physical thing that's happening around the world or around us in our heart. There's this spirit of weariness. There's a spiritual battle with weariness. And how do we, in that time of weariness, the Bible calls us to hope in the Lord, to come home to God's rest. Isaiah chapter 40, verse 31 says, but those who hope in the Lord, okay, those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. When you are weary, you're not supposed to rely on your own strength, but hope in the Lord will renew their strength. You know, my own strength gets drained. You know, it always gets drained. But God's strength, you get renewed over and over and over again. Can we believe that together? When we rely on God's strength, it's going to be renewed over and over and over again. Isn't that a good news? They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not go weary. They will walk and not be faint. Those who hope in the Lord, another word for hope in the other translations, that those who wait on the Lord, those who wait on the Lord, meaning those who rest in the Lord. When you wait, you don't do anything, you know. Those who rest in the Lord, those who come to God's rest. Right? And remember, the Hebrew passage says, make every effort to enter that rest, because there's so many things right now all around us is trying to pull us away from that rest, so that we need to make every effort to enter that rest. You're not? So we need to practice this. We need to do this. Right? You're not giving into weariness. You're going to contend. You're going to fight. You're going to stand up to that spirit of weariness. You are tempted to agree with weariness. And there are things going on in your life. And as I pray for you, I mean, there's thoughts and lies and overwhelming things. And you're tempted to agree with weariness. Just give up. Just stop. But I want to challenge you, children of God, don't give weariness any power. Refuse to agree with weariness. Weariness tells you to become hopeless, but you refuse. Just say, no, I will not listen to you, that spirit of weariness. I will not agree with you. I will not give you any power. Weariness tells you to be disillusioned. But you fight against it, children of God. Weariness tells you to give up. Children of God, say no. Right? Say no. Many of you are facing challenges that's making you weary. You know, and what I learned about spiritual warfare And the spiritual battle is very intense. But why is it so intense? What I learned about spiritual battle becomes more intense when you're about to get breakthroughs. Okay? When there's about to be breakthrough. You know, the Amalekites raided David's camp in the wilderness. They attacked and raided his camp. The Amalekites took everything. And then his own men were so weary, they wanted to stone David. And David was weary. But instead of giving up, instead of feeling sorry for himself, instead of getting bitter, the Bible says in 1 Samuel chapter 30, verse 6, David was greatly distressed. He was tempted to give up right here. He was tempted to identify with weariness. David was greatly distressed because the men were talking of stoning him. It seemed hopeless. Each one was bitter in spirit because of his sons and daughters. But there's something that the Lord, I believe, wants to do in our family. There's something that God, supernatural thing that God wants to do in our family. See, the men were so bitter because of their sons and daughters. They were stolen. And I'm going away from my notes, but because it's just conviction. Because of the family, the enemy, right? Enemy wants to discourage you. The way you grew up as a child, the enemy wants to discourage you. But children of God, no. You know why? Here, first, the Bible tells us, but David found strength in the Lord his God. Okay? David found strength in the Lord his God. David found strength in the Lord his God. His God, meaning God's a very personal God. And David rested in the Lord. And because of that, instead of giving up, he pursued the Amalekites, fought the Amalekites, and won, and took back that everything that was stolen. Why am I sharing this passage? Because what happened, if you keep reading the Bible, 3 days later, Saul is killed in battle, and David is made king of Israel 3 days later. You're going through intense spiritual battle right now. You know why? There's going to be a breakthrough. There's going to be a breakthrough. The enemy fights hardest when there is about to be a breakthrough. The enemy steals when the seed is planted. The enemy lies when you hold on to the truth that will set you free. The enemy fights dirty when he's about to lose. During World War II, Hitler, when he was about to lose, became so desperate, he armed little children to fight his battle. That's how desperate he was, because he was about to lose. The enemy becomes desperate when you are about to have a breakthrough. This is a time to find strength in the Lord. Not strength in anger. It's not or bitterness. Don't identify and agree and give power to weariness, but find strength in the Lord. Come home to God's rest. Okay? Come home to God's rest. Say to your neighbors or speak it out, you know, Jesus is my advocate. 1 John chapter 2, verse 1 says this. My dear children, okay, my dear children. I don't know, you know, he calls you his children. What, you know what that means? He's going to redeem the family. He's going to restore the family. My dear children, I write this to you so that you will not sin. Okay? You'll not give weariness power. But if anybody does sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous one. Remember I said, when you rely on the strength of the Lord, it gets renewed and renewed and renewed and renewed. Right? If you sin, remember, we have an advocate with the Father. Right? Again, in this context, children, Father, right? It's the home, Jesus Christ, the righteous one, is your advocate. We need to rest in what Jesus did for us. Because the devil comes to accuse. Why? You know why? Okay? Is it just because he wants you to be depressed and miserable? The devil comes into your heart to accuse you. Why? To drive you away from God. To drive you away from Jesus, who's your advocate. Closer you get to the devil, more you feel condemned. More you feel guilty. More shame, more unlovable, more unworthy. More you draw near Jesus, you don't feel condemned, but in Jesus, there's conviction. Okay? Conviction doesn't make you want to give up. It makes you want to fight. It makes you want to have hope. It makes you believe. It makes you have faith. So when you draw near Jesus, there's conviction. There's grace, there's mercy. You see, when you confess your sin to Jesus, when you confess your sin to the devil, he will condemn you. Right? But when you confess your sin to Jesus, you receive his forgiveness, his faithfulness. He cleanses you from all unrighteousness. You know, the Come Home series based on the prodigal son, you know, the son messed up. Was so far from where he thought he would be. He was empty. The best he could do was eat the food the pigs were eating. And the Bible says the son came to his senses. Right? And he stopped looking at all the things that he did wrong. Instead, start to think about home. Going back home. He started thinking about his father. Instead of going the opposite way, away from home, he came home. He went toward the Father. He came home to God's rest. And when the Father saw the Son, the Father didn't say, you know, you really messed up really badly. You know, I'm going to put you on 1 year probation and see if he really changed. And then after 1 year probation, let's see if I'll allow you to come home. Nope. The Bible says the Father ran to the Son. Even though the Son was filthy and dirty, the Bible says the Father covered his Son with a new robe. The Father covered his Son with a new robe. Jesus is your advocate. What does that mean? Jesus covers your sin with his body that was broken for you, blood that was shed for you. Jesus covers your sin. Huh? So, you know, in Mark chapter 2, Jesus tells this paralytic, friend, your sins are forgiven. Right? And the teachers of the law, hearing what Jesus said, they were so shocked, you know, and they questioned Jesus' divinity related to his authority. Right? In another word, they questioned his lordship. And Jesus asked, what is easier? Okay, what is easier? Forgive sin or tell the paralytic, get up and walk. The most difficult thing in the universe is to forgive sin. Okay? It's to forgive sin. And that is why the teacher of the law were thinking only God has the authority to forgive sin. No mere human being could forgive sin. No amount of money in the world could forgive sin. No matter how much you work, how hard you work, it cannot forgive sin. Only God himself could forgive sin. And you know what Jesus says? I want you to know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sin. Jesus has authority on earth to forgive sin. And so what it's saying is, he has, what it's saying is that when it comes to spiritual warfare, no matter how hard it is, it's coming to spirit, you know, you know that Jesus is the Lord. The devil fears and respond to the authority of Jesus, the lordship of Jesus. So when it comes to sin, we see the lordship of Jesus. Jesus took our sin, right? And he didn't die with that sin, but he rose again. He overcame sin. When it comes to brokenness, you know, when you see Jesus as Lord, it is the power of Jesus that heals. It's Jesus' lordship that frees us. Let's think about freedom. Freedom is not just removal of evil. True freedom is in the lordship of Jesus. Okay, did you hear what I just said? True freedom is in the lordship of Jesus. It is when God reigns in your heart. Lordship means that, okay, think of your life, your heart, and Jesus is sitting on the throne of your heart. Right? He reigns in every area of your life. It is the lordship of Jesus that truly gives freedom. When, freedom, true freedom is not doing whatever you want. Right? People who live for themselves are not free. You know, I was thinking about this, and, homelessness is a tremendous problem in a lot of the cities in the United States. And homelessness is a very complex problem. And I'm not an expert or anything like that on it, but it's a very complex problem, you know. And it's an economic problem. You know, you lose a job and can't find a job, you become homeless. But I work with the homeless, you know, in Chicago. And it's not just an economic problem, it's a mental illness problem, too. But what I also see, okay, is also a problem with addiction. When I was working in Chicago with the homeless, about 90% of them were addicted to a street drug. You know, and what's addiction? Okay? It's a bondage. It's a bondage. It's making something else an idol other than God. And so, this is a common story of how somebody becomes homeless. Yes, because they lost their job, you know. Hospitals cannot take care of, with mental illness, so they just let them out in the street. That's a problem. But this is a very common story. A person first gets addicted to a street drug. And more than anything, because of the addiction, they want to feed that addiction. And because of the addiction, they lose their job. And because of the addiction, there's a divorce. They lose their family. And after that, this is a common story. What happened? They live with their parents. Right? But to feed that addiction, they start stealing from their parents to support their drug habit. And eventually, the parents can't take it anymore, and the parents kick them out of their home. And so, you know, what about, okay, you know, put them in the shelter. But what happens in the shelter is they leave the shelter. Why? They can't get drugs there. They can't get the drugs. So because of the addiction, they live in the street. Why? You know, because it's so easy to get the drugs. But to keep their addiction, they'll sell their body, they'll steal, they will even kill to feed their addiction. And because of that addiction to drug, very clearly, they're not free. They desire it, but they are not free, but in bondage. And Satanism is based on this philosophy of hedonism, this hedonism. Your own pleasure is the most important pursuit and only thing that matters. Your own pleasure. That dopamine feeling that you get is the most important thing. And this is the reason the devil fell. Not worshiping the true God, but wanting to be God. And if you make your life about yourself, it is not a free life. It is not a free life. You're just switching jail cells in prison. That's all you're doing. True freedom, and this is true freedom is when Jesus reigns as Lord over every area of your life. Right? Over every area of your life. So I'll just conclude with 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 17. Now the Lord is the Spirit. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, the Bible says, there is freedom. And God's people said, let's pray.